You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
And today we're going to end up by talking about how to possess the land by staying strong. So may I ask everyone to stand on your feet. We're going to read God's Word today. Let's read Joshua 14. Starting in verse 5, okay? Are you ready? Great. Verse 5, it says, "So the Israelites divided the land, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" Everybody say wholeheartedly. "So on the day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said.' Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance." So Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzites, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Let's bow our heads and start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we want to welcome you in our midst this evening. And I'm asking you, Lord God, that you would speak to us. I'm asking you, Lord God, to let your word bring such an impartation in our lives as we end up this series. And Lord God, I pray for a spirit of revelation that we will be the kind of people who would respond according to your word. And so, Lord, here we are, Father God, saying, consecrate us. Speak to us, Lord God. Have your way in the midst of everybody, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you bless the preaching of your word. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please take your seat. Before we talk about Caleb and his exploits, first and foremost, let me present to you the men who have made a history in our time wherein when they were at the age 70 or 80, they still made an impact in their generation and even in our lifetime. So who are these men? All right? First and foremost, we have Galileo, an astronomer, made some of his greatest scientific discoveries at the age of what? 73. All right? He made those great discoveries when he reached the age 70s. All right? Probably started 30s, 40s. He was persevering. He didn't stop until he made all these discoveries when he entered 70s. Let me ask you, is there anybody here who is around 70s in the house? Ano po ba dito, your age around 70? 70, please. Yes, you're 70. 70 what? Is that okay? 71. Wow. Great. Well, you don't look like 71, ma'am. You look like around 60-something. Or honestly, all right? Can you top that? Anybody here? Mga 70 plus aside from our sister here. Anyone? 70? Meron ba? 70? Are you? There's a... All right. 70. Okay, kilala ko to. Ma'am, how old are you? 72. Wow. From 71, we have 72. Great. Our sister came from Canada, Pastor First mother-in-law from Canada. Can we just give her a big, big hand? She's 72 years old. All right. Welcome again. I hope you're having a good stay. Well, is Pastor First a good son-in-law, ma'am? Later on, we'll talk about that. All right. 72. Anybody here can top that? 70 plus? Anyone at all? Meron ba? 70? Wala na? 80? Meron po bang 80 years old? All right. Meron po? Nahihiya lang? All right? Okay. Pastor Earl, inatawa ka na? Ha?
Mother-in-law.
Wait, your mother-in-law is right here. Where's your mother-in-law? Mother-in-law. Mom, can I ask you to please stand? The mother-in-law of Pastor Earl. Wow, can we just give her a big, big hand? Whoa. Well, Mom, we just want to tell you how blessed you are to have Pastor Earl. All right, Pastor Earl is one of our heroes. You know, he's one of the great pastors, I tell you, as far as pastoral services is concerned. And is Queenie here? All right, we just want to honor you. And, of course, your daughter, she's such a blessing, all right, to us. So thank you so much, ma'am. So can we just give her a big, big hand? Wow, great. 74. All right. Sige. Can you top that, Vic? Ilan to ka na? Mga bata pa ba? Okay, hindi na natin sabihin. All right, okay. Imagine at age 70, all right, he just started to make some discoveries. What about this? John Glenn, who returned to space at the age of 75, he became the oldest astronaut to fly in space. Di pa na contento, I want to be back. I shall return in space when I reach 75. Medyo kulang ako ngayon, pero intay ko pa bago mag-75 ako. He experienced that. He went back. Alam ko, pag 75 ka na, miski ayaw mo na mag-swimming, di ba? Ito po, space, mga kapatid. Bumalik pa. All right? Benjamin Franklin was a framer of the U.S. Constitution. At the age of 81, this man is a prolific man. He's a writer, a poet, a teacher, a statesman. And he basically made a book about the virtues that every person needs to do in order for a person to make an impact. He's one of the heroes in America where you could see his face in one of the dollar bills, all right? So Benjamin Franklin at the age 81. Michelangelo was still producing masterpieces. And guess what? At the age of 89, all right? Miski, ugot-ugot na niya. Sige, pinta pa rin ang pinta, okay? Sige lang. Why? Because he realized that he can still make an impact even at that age. Polycarp, all right, who's a disciple of the Apostle John. How many of you know the Apostle John, the one who wrote John, the book of John? Well, he has a disciple he raised up. He's an apostolic father by the name of Polycarp. And it's very interesting that before he died, he refused to deny Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He was about to be burned at stake. Bago ho siya sunugin lang naman. Ito pong sabi niya, 86 years have I served him and he has never failed me. God has never failed me. And he said, will I deny him now? He was actually saying, all my life, I was serving God. He never failed me. And yet, you're telling me to deny him? Hey, look, guys, burn me now. Because I'm not going to deny my Savior. I'm not going to recant my faith. I'm going to serve him even to the last minute. You want to burn me? Burn me now. Wow. Polycarp. Caleb, at age 85, here's what he said. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me. With the Lord helping me, I will drive out the giants in the land, just as he said. Why are we showing this to all of you? You know, probably with this generation that has been raised, you know, every generation is totally different from the others. Sometimes we have this mindset that by the time we entered the senior citizens age, all right? Ano po ba senior citizens age po natin dito? 60. Alam mo, Vika. All right. Okay. Okay. Lapit na. Or probably in the States, I guess, probably almost the same age, ma'am, in Canada, 60, 65. A lot of people would say, alam mo, by that time, dapat retired na ako. Okay, dapat meron na akong house dito. Dapat nasa beach na ako. Dapat nagpapahinga na ako. Cool lang, relax lang ako. You know what? I understand of us taking a rest, but as long as our heart still beats and we have the strength, I think whatever the age we're into, whether you're 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, God still wanted to use you in a greater way. Do you hear me? It doesn't go with the age that God can stop using you. No. God wants to maximize us. Do you hear what I'm saying? At this moment, before we take into the life of Caleb, I want to first take a group of people from the Israelites and somehow put a contrast between this group of people of the Israelites and Caleb himself. In other words, what we read was fantastic about Caleb, but I want to talk about also the opposite and give a contrast on how we could learn if for us to possess the land that the Lord promised us, then we got to know the other end or the other side. Are you here with me? So let me start by sharing to you first Joshua chapter 15, verse 63. Here's what the Bible says. A group of people by the name of, they call themselves Judah, could not dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. To this day, the Jebusites live there with the people of Judah. What was God's instruction for the Israelites? The instruction was, possess the land, take charge, annihilate those who live there, the Canaanites. In order for you to possess it, then drive them out. But here's an example where Judah didn't drive out or dislodge the Jebusites. Another group of people here in Joshua chapter 16, verse 10, it says, they did not dislodge the Canaanites living in Jezer. To this day, the Canaanites live among the people of Ephraim, but are required to do forced labor. Here's a group of people, which they call themselves Ephraim. What happened was, they also disowned the very instruction that God has for them. They didn't drive out the Canaanites living there, but they asked them to do forced labor. I don't know what happened here. But if God say possess, if God say that's yours, you got to drive out and smash out all these people, then I'm sure before God could give it to us, we got to do our part first. But they did not. Another group of people here, in Joshua chapter 17, verse 12 to 13, it says, the Manassites, people from Manasseh, all right, Manassites were not able to occupy these towns, for the Canaanites were determined to live in that region. However, when the Israelites grew stronger, they subjected the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not drive them out completely. Again, we could see here a group of people that God has asked them to drive them out. They did not. What kind of character are we looking at here? First and foremost, we can see here that this men, this group of people, have what you call compromised in their own hearts. God wanted everything to be given to them. I seen everything. It's all yours. Parang sinasabi ni Lord, buffet. Hindi lang yung salad section. But you gotta drive out our enemies. I'm gonna give everything to you. But guess what happened here? They compromised. What's a compromise? Well, compromises are those little petty things that we know it's not right, but we tolerated it. We allow ourselves to give in to such wrongdoing na sometimes pinamaliit-maliit po natin na ano ba naman yan, konti lang naman yan eh. Ano ba naman yung sisilip lang ako sa internet? Utala, wala naman nakakita sa akin. Ano ba naman yung konting 5 minutes lang? Ano ba naman yung lalaki naman ako? Hindi naman ako mag-check. Hindi naman akong, wala naman nakakaalam eh. Lalaki naman ako, pwede ko naman tingnan yung mga kung sino-sino doon. Whether lalaki, babae, whatever. Compromises. And I'm telling you, it might just be 5 minutes or 10 minutes that sometimes those times could go with ours and ours until you are slaved with the so-called lust. It all started with those small compromises. I don't know for you, maybe relationships. That we're trying to build relationship and you end up violating those small kinds of kiss then that leads to one way or the other. Why is that? That we could have families who are broken homes and young teenagers who are pregnant. Small compromises. Compromises leads of us not finishing strong. If you're here today, may God speak to us. Enough is enough of all this petty things that defiles our soul and costs our relationship, our walk with God. Can you say amen to that? Compromises. And Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 to 8, here's Joshua. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my what? Convictions. Verse 8, but my brothers who went with me made their hearts of the people melt with fear. And I, however, followed the Lord my God, what? Wholeheartedly. All right? What's the difference? If the Israelites were compromising, Caleb here has shown great convictions. Everybody say conviction. Do you realize that Caleb himself was loyal to God? Caleb himself was faithful. He was faithfully obeying consistently, constantly. What's the reason why? What's the reason why he would do that? Because of what? He followed the Lord God wholeheartedly, and that is his convictions. In other words, kung kayo, kung gusto niyo mag-compromise, bahala kayo. You want to put your gods out there, but for me, not with me. I'm going to serve God 100%. I don't know if you could give in to all these compromises. No, 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 no. Don't touch me. Don't include me. I will never give in. I'm different. My heart follows God wholeheartedly, and that is his conviction. Maybe for some reason, you're a very spiritual man. You pray. You read your Bibles. You come here on a Sunday, and you're saying, yeah, I pray. I'm reading my Bible. I worship God. I love God. Let me tell you this, not because you're spiritual, it also means that you're following God wholeheartedly. Not because you're reading your Bibles, not because you come here today, means to say that you're following God wholeheartedly. We cannot equate spirituality or how good you are here in this church, but in your life, from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there is no difference. And yet you're saying, well, nagpe-pray naman ako, at least ako nagpe-pray. It doesn't mean anyhow. It doesn't mean nothing. That's why it's according to our convictions. Are we following God wholeheartedly? Are you here with me? Compromise versus conviction. Now let's move on. In Joshua chapter 18, verse 2 to 3, we see here another story. It says, but there were still seven Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. So Joshua said to the Israelites, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Meron pong seven na tribes na hindi pa nila napupossess yung land. And here comes Joshua and say, guys, look, what are you waiting for? Why stay? You go on. You go on and take the land. Why is that? Why cannot this people take the land and possess it and drive out all those enemies there? You know the reason why? Because they were complacent. Complacency. What's complacency? It means self-satisfaction or even contentment. Ang nangyari to because the Israelites were compromising. The Israelites were what? Were complacent. It led them to procrastination. In other words, ang nangyari po rito, okay, they settled into the land and said, eh, okay naman tayo rito. At least nakakain tayo. At least, hindi lang yung salad bar. Meron naman tayo rito, Filipino station. At least, pag ikanin ka na, sold na tayo. At least, okay na to. Okay, hindi na tayo. Okay na tayo. Ito na yung atin. Ito na yung land natin. Ito na yung blessing natin. Okay na. Hindi ho, mga kapatid. Gusto ni Lord, bigay sa atin lahat. But you cannot settle in and relax and do nothing while evil is prevailing in the land. Are you here with me? We can't allow evil to prevail in our families, into our own lives. You got to drive it out. A lot of people would settle in, especially when you have received the blessing. I na-receive ko na yung blessing. And because of that, they started to turn their backs on God. They've forgotten about the purpose of God, why they are there. Are you here with me? Total, may Sunday service naman. Ba't ba ako mag-ati ng victory groups? Hello? Total, nag-ati naman ako ng victory groups. Ba't ba ako magiging victory group leader? Total, nagbibigay naman ako sa offering. I never miss coming to every Sunday. Well, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, go and make disciples. Jesus didn't say, go and attend Sunday service. Does that make sense? Folks, let's not be settled in what's going on. And as far as we're concerned, listen, we're here to reach out the lost. I remember last Sunday, there were a group of people here in this side. And after the preaching last Sunday, a couple introduced them to me and say, hey, this is Pastor Mario and all that. And I said, oh, this is your first time. Wow, we just want to welcome you here. By the way, how did you find our service? Yeah, we're okay. Yeah, okay. So I found out they belong to other church. All right? I said, oh, so you're attending other church? You know what? Listen, please go back to your church. Go back there. Don't stay here. Okay, stay in your church. And I'm with full conviction, I'm telling them, because why? Because I know why I'm here for. The reason why I'm here for, because I want to reach out the loss of Metro East. We might have a building here and be relaxed with the air condition, with the place that we have here. Hey, look, we're getting out of this place. One day, we're gonna go out and plant a church in Marikina, in Antipolo, in Taytay, in Cahintan. Let me tell you, we're gonna do that. Why? Because we don't want to settle in here. Does that clear to everyone? We're gonna have churches in every place right here because God has given us this land here in Metro East. Can you say amen to that? We can't settle in. We can't. We can't be complacent. We're gonna drive out and let God extend our territories. For the meantime, as they were complacent, in Joshua 14, verse 9 to 11, so on the day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance. Everybody say, inheritance. And that of your children forever. Because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. Verse 11, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to the battle now as I was then. Amazing. If those Israelites were complacent, well, here is Caleb. He has a strong heart. Why? Because he was confident into the God that he served. Are you here with me? Everybody say confidence. You know what an interesting story here. He said, I received the promise when I was 40. After 45 years, I'm still as strong as I was 45 years ago. And he said, I want to claim my inheritance. What caused him to be strong? Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever asked that question? What an amazing man this guy is. He didn't waver in his unbelief. He didn't question God. He got his inheritance after 45 years. You know the reason why? He was living as strong as he was back then simply because of the promise of God in his own life. As I've asked you again, how many promises of God that he has given you? Well, let me tell you this. For you to receive that promise, you got to stay strong and be strong even in your own physical lives. Are you here with me? He received the promise 45 years after, but he was strong as he was 45 years before. Pastor Romel was here during the 4 p.m. service. Pastor Romel and Maan, you know, I did their wedding back in 2005, and obviously, they're so in love with each other. And what we don't know was Maan has experienced 5 times miscarriages. 5 times. And I remember those moments, 2 of those moments where Romel has to call me and set a meeting with me at night where we were just 2 together, just encouraging him, standing with each other. And we were crying together. And, you know, I was saying, hey, look, bro, I believe perfect timing of God. God will grant you a baby. For 5-6 years, they're believing God for a baby. Last year, during the prayer and fasting, not this year, last year, 2010, one of the things that we prayed for and asked the people, if you're believing God for a baby, let me pray for it. Just come here. All the pastors prayed for our people here. And guess what? Last Saturday, God just blessed them. For the very first time, the baby just come out. All right? A healthy baby boy by the name of, what's his name? Forgot the name. All right? Zia, all right? It took 5-6 years, 5 miscarriages, but yet they receive their promise that God will bless them with a baby. Everybody listen up. Look at that, huh? What a baby. Parang, pag lumabas, parang Christian ka agad. Okay, we'll see, all right? How many of you, you're believing God for a promise and it hasn't received yet, but you believe it's going to come? Let me tell you, God will provide for you. He will deliver you. He will grant you the victory. You're going to receive the promise that God has for you. Do you understand this? Last Tuesday, during our pastor's meeting, Pastor Joey Bonifacio of our Victory Fort was telling us the story of the priest that he engaged with in Ateneo. Well, his former school was Ateneo, and he was telling us the story of this priest by the name of Father Candelaria, okay? Father Candelaria, that man there, wearing red. Father Candelaria is already 92 years old, and he's still teaching, all right? He's still teaching a different class, and he's a priest, And Pastor Joey was so blessed and say, "Father, you're 92 years old. You're strong. What's your secret?" Father Candelario commented, responded, and he said, "You know, Joey," he said, "every breakfast I eat like a king. Every lunchtime I eat like a prince. Every dinner I eat like a pauper. I take everything in moderation." This guy is 92 years old. And begin to realize, man, if that guy lives 92 years of age, who's still strong, how much more that even our lives today, it is possible for us to live long. Hello? 70, 80, 90. I don't know for you, but my fate is I'm going to reach the age 80. I'm going to see my kids, my grandkids, at the wedding altar. I'll be there for them. Lolo, Mark will be there for them. All right? Honestly, that's my faith. I want to see the inheritance that God has for me in my generation. I'm going to live long for us to live long. You want to live longer? Better. Eat right. Sleep right. Rest right. Exercise right. And let your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. We're going to live long. We're going to see the inheritance that God has for us. We're going to be strong like Caleb. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Let's move on. Joshua 17, verse 16 to 18. It says here, "The people of Joseph replied, 'The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the plain have iron chariots.'" Everybody say, "iron chariots." "But those in Bethshan and its settlements, and those in the valley of Jezreel." But Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim, and to Manasseh, "You are numerous and very powerful. You will have not only one allotment, but the forested hill country as well. Clear it, and its farthest limits will be yours. Though the Canaanites have iron chariots, and though they are strong, you can drive them out." They were asking for a land. He says, "We're too numerous. Itong binigay mong lang na to, my Joshua, ang dami namin. Kulang to." Parang tuloy, may sense of entitlement sila na lahat na lang bibigay ni Joshua. Pero sabi ni Joshua, "Wait a minute. What are you talking about? You can drive them out. You could own the forest hills. Farthest beyond that you could ever imagine. You can take them. They may have the iron chariots. They might be strong, but you can drive it out." Listen, do you realize we've been together when we entered the promised land? When you've seen in your very eyes how the walls were broken down, how we defeated the Ai, how we defeated the Amorites. God was fighting for us, so you better fight and drive them out, for God will be with you. What caused them not to drive out those Canaanites with these iron chariots? You know why? Because they are scared. Because this people doesn't have backbones. They were trusting in their own efforts. That's the reason why. And I want you to understand, they were cowering out in fear. And let me tell you, fear will stop you from possessing the land that God has given you. Are you here with me? I remember Master Yoda. I don't know if you remember Master Yoda, all right? He asked this question. What was the question? Do you remember? What fear you? Let me ask you today. What's the insecurities, the fears, the lingering fears that you face that stops you from becoming great? Do you realize that every single one of us here, do you realize that every one of you here is a potential to become a great leader in the house of God? Do you realize that? Do you realize that all of us here, if you're listening to me, if you're in this house right here, right now, I want to tell you this. You might not know this. You might be in your 40s, your 50s, young people, thank God. But I want you to know there is a potential of great leadership that God has placed inside of us. And sometimes what keeps us from stepping out, what keeps us from fulfilling, is our own insecurities. It's our own fears. Fear of men. Fear of committing yourself. Fear of being rejected. And fear of failure. And fear of authority. Alam niyo po ba yung hiya? Hiya is a form of fear. Nahiya ka? Hey, you have a great God inside of you. You know what the Bible says? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. Do you realize that God has given us this? That's why fear is not from God. It's from the enemy.
And he will do anything he can in order for him to stop you from fulfilling the greatness and the calling of God in our lives. I hope you understand this. It's time for you to deal with your fears. That's the reason why. If there was Israelites, they were cowering out in fear. What about Caleb? Here's what it says in Joshua 14. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites, everybody say Anakites, were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, he said, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Verse 14. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. In fact, another verse in Joshua, we could see here at the age 85, after he received Hebron, all right? Here's what he says. I'm as strong as I was 45 years ago. Here's what he did. At 85 years old, from Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. As a matter of fact, Goliath, whom David encountered, was the descendants of these Anakites. Think about this. You're coming against bigger group of people. You're coming up against Yao Ming and Shaquille O'Neal. Think about the Bynum. Think about those. This man, all right? Howard, big as they are. Everybody listen up. Caleb was not intimidated because he was not looking how big they are. He was looking and focusing on how big his God is, who will give them the victory and who will help him drive out all the giants in the land. Folks, Caleb has such courage in his very heart. No matter what, I want to possess the land, but you got to have courage. Everybody say courage. What is courage? Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's our willingness to face it and confront it with the help of our God. Can you say amen? Amen. Daniel 11:32 says, those who knew their God shall be strong and do mighty exploits. In another translation, it says, those who knew their God, kung sino man nakakilala kay Lord, in your relationship with God, he said, you'll be strong and do mighty exploits. That's what the Bible says. No other God will firmly resist the enemy. Church, we got to resist complacency. You got to resist all these characters that hinders us from fulfilling the call of God in our lives. Compromises, fear, but we got to embrace conviction. We got to embrace confidence. And courage. As we end this series, just an insight. Joshua and Caleb are the only two people who end up becoming strong. They end up strong. You know the reason why? As a matter of fact, these two people a lot of people would call them bi-generational people, because they were present during the time that they crossed the Red Sea when Moses was leading them, and they were able to cross the Jordan River for the second time to enter the promised land. And yet they were successful. Yet they were strong. Yet they possessed the promised land. Only two out of that generation. Bi-generational people. And what was the key? The key is this. Stay strong. For God will reward His people with His promised inheritance. Say that again. Stay strong. For God will reward His people with His promised inheritance. Let's read it all right now at a count of three. One, two, three, go.
Stay strong.
For the last time, say it again. One, two, three, go.
Stay strong.
Friends, just like Joshua and Caleb, they stayed strong. For us to stay strong, here's the last instruction. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua said, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. What's the point there? He was telling, serve God with all faithfulness. But it's a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice. You want to follow God wholeheartedly and be like Caleb? It's your choice. You want to be like Israelites who compromise, complacent, and gave in to their fears? It's your choice. Again, we got to stay strong in order for us to receive the promised inheritance God has given us. Can we say amen? Can we just bow our heads today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want to glorify you and bless your name. Even at this moment, Lord, we say thank you for the words that we heard for the whole week of this month, that truly, Lord, you are a faithful God who will fight for us. You're a God who will keep your promise. Even at this moment, Lord, I thank you that you want your people to live not compromising, but with great conviction. Not complacency, but Lord God, with great confidence. Not with fear, but with great courage. And all these things is possible, Lord, because you are with us, and you'll be the one to make us strong. If you are here this evening and you know that there are compromises, there's some complacency, but you know that you need to rise up to the occasion. But something stops you. Fear started to creep into your heart. Complacency and all this compromise and started to stop you. You feel like, I don't deserve to be used by God. Who said so? God wants to change you. God wants you to be pure. God wants you to be His. Just like Caleb, who said, I followed God wholeheartedly. If you're not following God wholeheartedly, would you make a decision? As Joshua said, as for me and my house, I will serve God wholeheartedly. If that's you, and that is the desire of your heart, would you lift up your hands to say, that's me, Lord God. I want to serve God wholeheartedly. As long as you lift up your hands, put it down. Say, that's me, God. Here I am, Lord. No more to compromises. I'm sick and tired. I've been losing this race, this fight. But Lord God, I want to turn to you, for you will help me. Lift up your hands and say, that's me, God. Here I am. I want to follow you, Lord. The rest of my life, following you wholeheartedly. Anyone else, lift up your hands. Say, God, here I am. You know my condition, the condition of my heart. Lord, 100% or nothing. God, here I am, Lord. I surrender my heart to you, Lord. Put your hands down. I want you to pray a prayer to God and say, God, forgive me. Lord, I come to you today. Lord, I renew my relationship with you. Lord, I come before you, Lord, with my weakness. As I come to you, Lord, you're going to grant me with strength. Just pray a prayer right now. Praise God. Lord, bless your people. Bless your people with strength, Lord. Change their heart of stone to a heart of flesh. I pray that they would understand the magnitude of the covenant you are giving us, even at this moment. And so, Father, thank you for everyone. I want to pray for some of you once again. Those of you who have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be strong like Caleb and Joshua. And for you to do that, then you got to know your Maker. You got to know who the one that we're serving, and that is Jesus. He is our strength. He's our provider, our wisdom. And He's the one who's going to grant you that life that you need today. If you're asking God to forgive you all of your sins and asking for this relationship with Him, would you lift up your hands? I want to lead you to God and say, here I am. I want to give my life to Christ. Just lift it up high and say, that's me. Yes. Anyone else? The Lord has touched and you want to serve God wholeheartedly. Just anyone else? Praise God. Everyone's head bowed down. To anyone else? Lift up your hands. Thank you. See that hand? Praise God. Anyone else? I believe the Lord is here. The Lord is touching you. It's time for you to meet Christ. It's time for you to encounter Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Praise God. For the last time. Yes, yeah, see those hands there. Anyone else? If you've never entered into that relationship, today is your moment. Today is the day that the Lord has given you for you to encounter. Anyone else for the last time? Lift up your hands if you're saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Praise God. To those of you who lifted up, lahat po nagtaas ng kamay.